Here's your host, Chelsea Edwards.
Welcome to another episode of Chatting with Chelsea. I'm your daytime bestie, Chelsea Edwards. Today we are chatting about how the game has changed in business. We have an advisor here who's going to tell us why networking is just not enough anymore and the next steps entrepreneurs should be considering if they want to grow their business. We also have an attorney here to chat about how to protect that growing business before those problems start popping up. All right. And speaking of leadership, the next CEO might actually still be doing her homework. I recently had the honor of judging the Girl Scouts Just Desserts competition. It's a competition where a bunch of local chefs, they come together, they use Girl Scout cookies to make desserts delicious. You know, we've had the Girl Scouts on the show before. And this is a reminder, it is Girl Scout cookie season and girls do learn entrepreneurship and leadership skills, stuff that can last a lifetime. So just remember that while you're ducking and dodging them outside the grocery store. Like, you know, they're trying to learn some skills here. Selling skills. So welcome, Kenya, founder of She Means Business. You focus on entrepreneurship as well, helping business owners start and grow.
So with She Means Business, we're an actual ecosystem that establishes, help them basically structure each element because there's different compartments to building the business and establishing the business and making sure that they're doing more than just networking.
Nice. Okay, so you say networking is just not enough anymore.
No,
okay, because it used to be the go-to for building, but why isn't it enough nowadays?
It's just not enough. They would say, if you build it, the people will come. And then they say, well, you got to go be in the room. Mm-hmm. Networking isn't enough because you can't just be in the room. You have to be intentional in the room and make sure that the networking agenda, it actually aligns with the big picture goals for the business.
Okay, so what does that mean when you're being intentional? You're walking into a networking event. Are you only looking for certain people or what? What's the strategy?
The strategy, so say for instance, I'm looking to do more brand awareness. That's the quarter goal for this next quarter. I want to do more brand awareness. My networking agenda should be maybe perhaps connecting with some philanthropic projects. And so looking for businesses that are in the nonprofit space. So now when I'm in the networking room, I'm literally looking to connect with those that are in that space because my agenda this quarter in business is philanthropic endeavors.
Okay, so you already have a goal in mind going in.
You're not just parlaying.
So if you meet somebody who is not aligned, do you just say, oh, nice to meet you, peace, and walk off like what you do?
I would never do that. I would, of course, receive the information because you can always put that in your safekeeping, put that in your toolbox because you never know where you can go back and utilize it. But just to be in the room connecting and gathering all this information and now you're just basically a human Google, that doesn't help the business. So it has to be very strategic, very intentional. And I think because we say the word, you know, you don't want to be an opportunist and people miscommunicate opportunity with opportunist.
Opportunist is like a nasty word. Like, we don't like an opportunist, but you are saying be strategic going in and also be prepared for opportunities.
Be prepared for opportunities.
It doesn't just start at the networking event. If you are looking for funding in particular, there are things that you need to do ahead of time.
Yes, there are definite things you need to do ahead of time. So with my organization, She Means Business, we have a strategic partner, which is Baker Ripley. Baker Ripley offers right now to small business owners that are in the Harris County area what they call a business improvement grant. It's $5,000, but of course there's a due diligence where you have to have certain things in compliance as far as documentation, paperwork. Have those things in compliance.
This is an annual thing that you need to pay attention to. Put on your calendar.
Yes.
Don't let it fall by the wayside.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else that business owners should be keeping up with before they try to get funding?
Keeping up with that, just the overall operational cost, all of their expenditures, because if everything that you're saying, the from your gross sales that you're bringing in, you're not keeping good records of that, and it doesn't look as though the business is actually bringing in capital to where you're every month it looks like you're in the red and you're never in the black. If there's something that you're not great at, I recommend connecting with those that can handle that. If accounting is not your thing, because there are entrepreneurs out here that are in isolation and they're trying to do everything by themselves, and they should not be doing everything by themselves. That's another resource we provide, where there are resources out here that you could utilize. They're at your disposal. There's free training classes for you as a business owner so that you can actually know how to do day-to-day operations. And there are tools, governmental tools, there are community organizations that are there to assist you with this process. But if your infrastructure isn't together, then a lot of these programs, you wouldn't qualify for them.
Ah, okay. Well, good to know, because we have talked about getting funding before, but there's a lot of background that needs to be in place before you just start going around asking for money. What's another step that entrepreneurs can take to make sure that they have that stuff in order or have their things in line before or they even go to another event or try to get that money into their business?
One of the key things I think that they should sit down and do is actually just doing a business model.
Okay. All right, because some people just jump into business
Just jump into it.
Oh, you've seen that before. Okay.
They just jump into it. And I'm like, well, what are your channels of communication for the business? Or where are your strategic connections that you have for the business? Okay, what are your particular services that you're going to offer? Are you leaving any money on the table? And they're like,
and they're like, okay.
But when you do a business model, that helps you see exactly how the business needs to be structured, and you typically follow the model versus just trying to see what's going to stick. If they are unclear of any area of the business, debrief, go ahead and have an assessment done, where they're able to just sit down, take an actual look at the business model, because they could be bleeding money in areas that are very unnecessary.
Okay, all right, yeah. Take a deep breath and debrief and get that part together. Thank you so much. Great tips. We've got some more tips coming up from an attorney who says you don't want any legal problems, so she's here to help us out with that. We'll be right back after this break. So you got your business going, now what? We want to prevent anything terrible from happening. So welcome, Ezinwahi Abi. You are a licensed attorney. You do real estate, estate planning, business.
And business, yes.
Okay, covering a lot of things here.
The three core areas.
So what is something that you run into when it comes to business owners that they might not think about while building their business?
The one thing that most people don't think about is contracts and how the contracts are there to protect you. Okay. A lot of people assume that it's just paperwork, you don't need it. You know, we can get to it later, we can figure it out. But most times what I see is when there's a problem and you have missed that foundational step, you end up spending a lot more time and money trying to correct what you could have taken care of before.
Ah, so are we talking contracts with like property managers or partners, or what are we talking
all
about?
Of it.
All of it. Get everything.
Contracts, even your basic contracts. So when we start with formation of the business, your operating agreement, right? Your partnership agreement, contracts with service agreements, whoever is going to be whoever you're working for. If you're seeking a contractor, that contractual agreement, whoever is working for you. Anything that you're doing when you've set up a business exposes you to liability if you don't have the clear constructs of what you're agreeing to with your partner or with any potential, you know.
Okay. So even if you, like, let's say you know this contractor, they've done work on your house.
Doesn't matter.
This is your business.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah,
what's a terrible case scenario? I mean, I guess I do want to kind of scare people, but what what is a scenario where maybe a contract would come into play, like you need to have it?
So I have instances, I have cases where you have siblings that are in court.
Mm.
You have parents that are in court with their children because they started businesses together and maybe they did not expect the business to blow up the way that it has, or they didn't expect certain liabilities to come up. Mm. And now it becomes, okay, who's responsible for what and who caused this and who's liable for this. Ooh. And who gets to take responsibility for this? So it doesn't matter what the relationship is. You have to think of the contract as something that's essential to actually protect your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be looking at it as, if we move the business off of just our friendship or our familial relationship, that way we're dealing with just what the agreement is.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So we are not above taking Meemaw to court.
Okay. Yeah, you'll be surprised. Wow. You'll be surprised.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that brings me to another point. You do need to document everything, you say.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So everything?
Everything. Paperwork, paperwork, paperwork. And it's not necessarily, sometimes people look at it as busy work, right? Because mm-hmm. you can start a business without it. But
yeah.
sort of like insurance. It's when something goes wrong that you wish you had explored that and taken care of it ahead of time.
Mm,
because
okay.
what ends up happening is you're going to end up paying more money and spending more time trying to resolve what could have been an easily negotiable agreement prior to.
Wow. So kind of go in with the mindset that mm-hmm. something could go wrong mm-hmm. or will go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And just prepare for that.
Absolutely.
Document everything.
Yeah.
So when we say document everything, does this mean that we have to get absolutely everything certified? Because I feel like that's a pain point for people. Or is it just a matter of, hey, taking notes of things that are happening?
Taking notes of things that are happening, setting a clear understanding of what the agreement is, mm-hmm. right? You imagine you start a business, whether it's a product business or a service business, you are interacting with somebody else based on an assumption,
mm-hmm.
right? What a contract does is solidify what that expectation is. How much are you paying? When should it be delivered? What happens if you don't deliver on time?
Okay.
What happens if a hurricane comes through and then you can't do the work you're supposed to do?
Mm.
So clarifying those things just makes things much easier for parties, so you're not having to call an attorney later, a year later, 6 months later, 2 years later, about an agreement that happened several years ago that was never documented. And I see that all the time.
All the time. Okay. I mean, I love knowing that this actually happens. Like, you're not just telling us.
All the time.
Okay. do you also see issues with people merging or mixing their personal finances with their business finances
oh, yeah.
or paperwork?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's one of the things that you're not supposed to do, right? To
okay.
set up a business correctly, you want to, of course, get it registered, get your tax designation, get all that done, get your operating agreement, as I mentioned, and then make sure you're not commingling. Because
mm.
once you commingle funds, then one person can argue that you really haven't set up a business. It's just a front. And you haven't set up the business the way that you were supposed to. So commingling mm. funds is something that you should not do. Once the business has been registered, it's a separate entity. It's
okay.
a separate entity from yourself. So mm. whatever you're doing, you want to keep those relationships very separate.
Mm. Okay, so does it matter if we set up an LLC, limited liability corporation, or what are the other ones?
LLP, a partnership or corporation, standard corporation. No, it doesn't matter. Either way, you don't want to commingle funds. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people will end up commingling funds when they have a DBA, because a DBA is not a structured business.
Yeah.
It's really just a name. And in that sense, sure, it's all you, because you haven't created an entity to separate yourself from the business.
Hmm.
But when you set up any sort of structured business that's been filed with the state,
mm-hmm.
You have to get a different bank account and keep things separate.
Okay, so even if you start with getting that DBA at some point, sooner than later.
Right. Yeah, so at some point sooner than later, you want to separate it, because a DBA does not give you any liability protection.
Mm.
And that's one of the main purposes of setting up a business, the liability protection. Mm. So you are not personally liable. You can't be sued personally. They can't come for your personal assets.
Yes.
If you don't do that, then someone can come sue you for everything you have in your bank account.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah,
be good.
We don't want that. Yeah. Even if they trip and fall in your business.
If they trip and fall in your business, or you don't have business insurance, comprehensive business insurance, or something happens and you hit someone, all kinds of things. Things could happen.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll hear more horror stories from you after this break. You guys, we'll be right back with more legal business advice that you need to hear.
We'll be right back.
as you're building your business, you want to avoid any pitfalls when it comes to legal problems. So as NYIB, you have dealt with so many different situations when it comes to people's businesses and property and all of that. So let me ask you this. Nowadays, a lot of people, they may get into agreements through DMs or text messages. Mm-hmm. And then if there's an issue, they want to bring those to court.
Yeah.
Is that possible? Can they bring those to court?
Oh, absolutely. They can bring it into court. But the question becomes, the other side would argue, who sent it to you? Right? Maybe my friend was texting and sent the wrong text message to you. How does that, how are you sure that that was me?
Oh, so now it was your friend with your phone.
Right,
okay.
Right. Well, that's the challenge you're going to have, that someone could have a defense to any of those things that you bring in. That's why I would always recommend you have something in writing that's signed with the names clear. Because DMs, text messages, sure, I sent it to you, we're having a chat. Yeah, there's a history of a chat. No, but I misunderstood what you sent because I sent this one before that one and did it arrive on time? There are just too many questions and loopholes and spaces to create confusion.
Yes.
That now you're debating about what was clear, what was understood, when was it, who sent it, how was it sent. It just removes those questions when you can have something clearly stated on paper that's signed and both parties are on the same page as to what's agreed.
Yes. Okay. You also recommend having like an emergency plan in case there is an issue.
Right. I mean, it just depends on how you look at your business. Emergency plan for businesses, if there are issues, there is the aspect of business succession. If there is a problem that no one is available to make certain decisions, that you take care of appointing someone to handle certain things and make decisions for you, right?
Oh.
That is one aspect of not just estate planning for the self, but business succession planning for your business. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's an emergency where you cannot function in your business, you cannot take care of things, you can't respond to... Contractually, there should be clauses in your contract to provide for if you're unavailable, depending on what kind of business you have. So those are things to consider when you're setting up that business. Does it require you to be the only one performing? What happens if you cannot perform? Do you have to give back the money? Does a client understand that someone else can perform for you? Those are some things to put together in the case of an emergency for your business.
So just like estate planning, like we may not want to think about worst case scenario, but...
Things happen. Life happens.
Things do happen.
Right.
Okay. And another thing that I have seen happen before is disputes when it comes to trademarks and names.
Absolutely.
So what is your recommendation there? Like that's pretty important.
Absolutely. Same thing you'd think of protecting yourself and your business. Your business name and your business brand should be protected.
Okay.
Registration with your state or... putting out your name on social media does not protect you.
Oh, okay.
Really
just because you have a following.
Does not mean it's protected. I've had instances where there's a registered business, but someone else goes and files a trademark, and which is a federal trademark, and then shows up and sends you a cease and desist.
And
they can do that because they have a federally protected trademark. You have a business name. You can go change the name of your business. So imagine you've built a following with this name. You've built a brand, your colors and all of that. Mm-hmm. And someone else has a trademark that says, no, I filed this and I have federal protection on my trademark. I have been using this name as well. Your state, you've been using it in your state. I have federal protection. So now I need you to stop using that. Not only do you have to then defend that position, but you have exposed yourself because you did not take the steps to protect your name. Mm-hmm. And of course, if your name is ABC Transport, that's not really special. You're not going to fight to protect that. But when you've taken the time to create a unique name or a unique brand, you want to take the extra step to protect it, especially if you're planning for the long term.
Yeah, that's definitely something to think about because you could be known all over Texas, but somebody in Illinois can say, hey, that's my name.
Yeah, and I have a federal trademark on it and it's valid. So.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Here's another one.
Okay.
All right. Everybody's getting into AI nowadays. And so people might just say, okay, I don't need an attorney. Let me just ask ChatGPT to draw up this contract.
Right.
Do you see any problems with that?
The challenge is the loopholes that the ChatGPT may not know, right? Because ChatGPT is not trained as an attorney unless you have the right prompt. And not everyone knows how to prompt ChatGPT.
Right.
So you are asking a an online AI model to write a contract for you, not aware of what potential clauses may be missing, what potential clauses or actions that have happened in the past that should be incorporated to better protect you. So it's not going to be a comprehensive contract. Nine times out of 10, it's not going to be comprehensive. It will give you a nice skeleton to work with, which is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Which is better than the DMs, but it's not going to be comprehensive. So if you have nothing else and that's where you're starting, sure. But I would always advise you at least have a conversation with an attorney to ask better questions and get better insight. And then you can go work with your friend on chat and figure out how to solve that. But at least you have some conversation and insight from someone who has seen some problems in the space that you're looking into.
Okay, your tone gives me, I have seen this before. I have seen the loopholes just wide open with using an AI contract. I would assume, though, that people who are trying to go that route, they're just trying to save some money, or they may be just starting out. They feel like they don't have enough for a retainer for a fabulous attorney like yourself.
Thank you.
So what should they do in that case?
I would recommend when you're building a business, you are trying to build something that you're hoping will bring value to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's only fair that you put some value into it. You don't have to go retain an attorney for several months, but you can have an initial conversation. Mm-hmm. Contact someone, book some time, have conversation, ask questions. Mm-hmm. All the questions you're thinking about, ask them, take some notes, and then go do whatever you need to do to get started. But I always ask initially, how much value are you placing on this business?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
If you expect the business to make money, why is it hard for you to put money into like making sure it's done well?
Oof. A word. Okay. All right. Well, with that, we know what we need to do. We are going to take a quick commercial break while you marinate on that. All right. We'll be right back after this. Thank you to our wonderful guests for giving us advice on how the business game has changed. You guys got to subscribe to our YouTube, Chatting with Chelsea, and keep up with us on social at Chelsea Show Fox. And we'll see you on the next episode of Chatting with Chelsea.
Thank you.